very interesting. This is the news, according to me. Well, I've got two cameras going here this morning, interestingly enough. And it seems to be working. Seems to be. Anyway, I don't know. Seems to be working. You think it's working? I think it's working. I don't know. What do you think? Send me a comment. Or not. I don't care. I really don't care what you think. I do care what you think. That's what this show is all about. It's what you think about what I think. That's what it's about. So if you notice this morning, it's kind of a dark, I have kind of a dark theme going on here. I don't have my lights on the way I did before. Now, all I have to do to change things here is to basically just do that, and it gets even darker, and then I think I can do that, and it gets even darker. It's kind of just my face floating in the sky, because I have a dog trying to dig its way. I'm here in the world headquarters, by the way. The news, according to me, world headquarters this morning, doing the live broadcasting thing. Thought I was going to have an issue because I couldn't get my audio to work. I hooked up this other camera now, so I have this angle of, well, let me show you. Those of you who are listening, you can't see this. See, that's what you're missing out on, all these visuals, because it's such a big part of the show. The cup, you can actually see the cup. You can also see the hand sanitizer and the... This is chai back here. This is the kind of chai I have. It's Pacific chai. So you can actually see the container now. Vanilla chai. It's my sponsor. Not really, but it's... I don't even have chai in that particular container. I put other stuff in there, but it gives you an idea of what the studio looks like here in my little magic box that I have down here beside me. Ooh, you can see that. And then, of course, I have my cup, which you can't see at the moment because I have it in my hand. So, it's getting real high tech here, the news according to me, as my little operation continues to grow. Every day it's something new. Sometimes it's something old. Sometimes it's something new. Sometimes it's something blue. Sometimes it's something borrowed, something... given. I don't know what all this stuff is. I don't know. It's, I got it all mixed up there, but that's, you get the idea. So we got this stuff going on, mainly, you know, and what you really want to know, not just about the cup, but what's in the cup. Like, what's in the cup is sweet tea. It's a mixture this morning of teas. The main bulk of the tea probably is, I would say it's probably Long John Silver's, believe it or not. The little Long John Silver's down here next to where the world headquarters is. I think they pretty much thrive on the business that comes from, that's generated here by the traffic here at the news, according to me. And they, I believe that they make some of the best tea around, at least within a 1 mile radius. It's good enough for me to drink. I'm really picky about my tea. You can ask anybody that has been around me very long. They'll know that I will pick a restaurant based on how good the sweet tea is. I don't care about the food. It's, if they have good sweet tea, I can wash bad food down with good sweet tea. That's the thing. You can't, if you have good food and then you take a taste of bad sweet tea, it makes the whole experience bad. And then if you have a good food and no sweet tea, it's like something's missing. The whole meal just misses something. It needs that certain flavor between bites. Maybe I should be a food connoisseur. Do a foodie channel. Or maybe I should just do a tea podcast. It'd probably be kind of difficult. There'd be a lot of drinking of tea. And at my age, I would have to be taking a lot of breaks. I'd have to get the bumpers working. Which is the next thing I'll be working on. The next week, I'll be working on bumpers. Now, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be traveling. This is Friday morning. This is the Friday morning live show. I'm probably not going to have a show. Friday evenings tend to be a little bit difficult for me to get a show in the afternoon. But however, I'll probably try to get at least an audio show in. Now, next week, Shabbat Shalom, everyone, by the way. Tonight at sundown is Shabbat. Sabbath starts tonight at sundown. So, we can get into that argument. I'm sure some of you out there are saying, no, Sunday's Sabbath now. They changed it. No, it is not changed. I think it's, you can use, I don't care when you observe Sabbath. I really don't care. It's not up to me. But I know that the actual time of Sabbath is Saturday, and it starts at sundown. That's Sabbath day. Saturday. Sabbath day. I don't know if you look into the history of it and see who changed it. Well, John changed it on the island of Patmos. Patmos? Whatever. No, he didn't. We could get into a long discussion on that one. There are people out there who are emphatic about that, and they're emphatically wrong. But I digress. I'm more concerned that you just recognize at least that it is the Sabbath. You can exercise Sabbath anytime you want to. That's not for me to decide for you. But I will say this. When Jesus was on the earth here, when he was fully man with the personality of God, everything he did, he fulfilled everything to the minute. That was in the feasts, the spring feasts, were fulfilled everything to the minute. You look at what happened on certain dates and times when they had certain feasts. Or festivals, if you want to call them that. And he fulfilled all those things. I think it's important that we recognize that. And the fall feasts represent his second coming. So yes, there are key points in the fall feasts that will help us to recognize the times in which we live. I'm just saying. Maybe it's good for us in the Western culture church to realize what's going on there. I've often said, and you'll often hear me say this, the Western culture Greek mindset church, even the Protestant church, is a reformation of the Catholic church, of Catholicism. I'm not going to downplay Catholicism. All I'm going to tell you is it is a long way from Judaism. And I'm not saying you can't be a believer. I'm not going to be the one who stands in the position of judgment, okay? I'm not going to do that. But I do know that there's some serious issues there that maybe need to be taken. Maybe you need to take a look at some of those things because it's could be a problem. So we'll just all stand before God at the end of this thing and he'll sort it out. So, Boris Johnson. Let's talk about Boris Johnson. He doesn't have any idea what's going on in the end times. Most of these world leaders think that they're doing God's work. They're such good people. Boris Johnson came out, I believe it was yesterday, actually, and declared that the pandemic is over. Now, he was getting into some political trouble. The word was out that he had been to a party without a mask on. Oh, my gosh. Oh, he's going to kill everybody. You know, let's just talk about masks for a moment. Shall we just talk about masks for a moment? Just talk about them.
I should probably put on a mask while I'm talking about masks, I suppose. That would be helpful. Would that be helpful to know if I'm wearing a mask?
That way you're not triggered. Some people are triggered by people even on video with no masks on because they're psychos. there is a what the damage to the psyche of this country is going to take years to heal from the things that have happened, the things that politicians and bureaucrats have done over the last 2 years. It has damaged society in a way that I don't think I've ever seen. 9/11 didn't even have this effect. Because this was just such a slow drip, a constant bad thing happening each day, unfolding. And we had these people that we trusted giving us information. Now, I think the older you get, the less you trust some people, the more skeptical you become, and rightly so, obviously. The more, if you're awake at all, and I'm not talking about being woke, I'm talking about being awake and aware. If you're seeing what's going on around us, and you're paying attention to some of the things that have been covered up, I'm talking about documentation, documented events and things and what people have said. I'm not talking about MSNBC going after Trump and saying, oh, look, he said, oh, you're not. They're still going. Every day, it's something new about this guy. The walls are closing in. We're going to get this guy. It'll be 20 years from now, Trump will be dead, and they'll still be, MSNBC will still be in somebody's basement broadcasting. We're going to go after Trump. I don't know who Trump is. I wasn't alive when Trump was here, but I was told by my grandfather that we need to go after Trump. I'm not sure what that means. Still, that's their only identity anymore. They need to get over that. Now, Trump came out, I think it was yesterday. He was being interviewed. It's just like Trump. He came out and said that they asked him if he's going to run again in 2024. I have to ask you, you're going to run in 2024. Well, I think you'll be very happy, but I'm not going to say right now. And of course, this just adds fuel to the fire, which is the heads on fire over at MSNBC. I'm sure it does. You're not going to be a quarterback. We're going to see to it you don't do it. I'm sure they just go nuts about that. So Boris Johnson was in a little trouble because he wasn't wearing a mask. Now, there's also this other, Neil Gorsuch, Supreme Court judge, SCOTUS, the SCOTUS guy, a Trump appointee, of course. We're coming after you, Gorsuch. That was a quote from Commander Schumer, who calls Trump a pig because of the things he says about people and the threats of January 6th, and yet, we're coming after you. What does that sound like? It doesn't sound like a threat to me at all. No, huh? No. I can guarantee you, if Schumer said, we're coming after you, Kevin, I'd say bring it on. And I would say, don't bother coming to me. I'll come to you, and we'll have this out. Because you're just a man. He's the one who said, I pause here for a moment. If you're not getting the visuals of what's going on here at the studio, you're really missing out. The audio is not cutting it for you. Let me just tell you that. There's a whole show going on here that you're not getting because you're not listening, because you're not watching the show, because you're not watching. I just knocked something down. I don't even know what that was. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's like a circus on the video here. So Neil Gorsuch, we're coming for you, Neil Gorsuch. Gorsuch. Yeah. Apparently, I think, was it Sotomayor? Sotomayor, I think, was the one. I think she has diabetes. Imagine that. I believe she's worried about being in the chamber, in discussions in the chamber without everyone wearing a mask. Now, there's been a lot of controversy. PBS is still running the story, and there's some others that really just went all hog wild nuts over Gorsuch because he didn't wear a mask in chamber because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about his coworkers. He just wants to kill them because he's not wearing a mask. Let me ask you this. if wearing a mask was so potent and powerful, why is this whole pandemic thing, why has it gone on for 2 years? Because everybody was wearing masks for a while there, and it didn't seem to stop anything. I digress. But this fanaticism over the mask, the magic mask, you have to wear a mask or it shows that you don't care about anybody around you. And we were told initially by one Dr. Fauci, nah, you don't need to wear a mask. Nobody needs to be walking around wearing masks right now. That's what we were told by Commander Fauci. But he was lying then to protect the first responders so that they wouldn't run out of masks. So everybody went out and started making their own masks. They made masks for other people, and they were making masks for first responders as well. They were making all these cotton, cloth, polyester, whatever you want to call them, masks. And of course, then they had to be two-ply masks. Well, now we find out that those masks aren't any good at all. They have to be N95 masks. If you're going to wear a mask, you might as well be in it. All of a sudden, the narrative is changing, and everybody's kind of noticing this. Now, I happen to, I hope I can pull this up and actually get audio of it. I think I can because of this little gizmo I have here. I believe anything I pull up will actually work. This is Kim Iverson from The Hill. Now, this is a long video, and I don't really want to play the whole thing. It's about almost 13 minutes long. And I wish I could actually pull it up onto the screen. I don't think I can. Now, I can try this. I'm going to add video here. I'm going to do that. Now, let me see if I can pull this up without... I'll pull it up here. If it doesn't come up with having to play, it doesn't play right away. Good. I might actually be able to actually show you this video. If I can, that would be awesome. Let's see if I can do it. Just do this on the fly. Video capture device, window capture. That might be it. Or maybe media source. No, that's not gonna work, probably. Browser, maybe? Window capture. Let's try window capture and see what kind of options I get. I'm just going to put that up there. See if this works. See what kind of options I get here. Window. Okay, there's all kinds of windows, and I don't know which one it's going to be. We got desktop picture. No. Server, Windows member, server, OBS. No, there's nothing there. Nothing there that I can use. I don't believe. I don't think so. Let's see what that says. Nope, that's not gonna work. Nope. Let's get rid of that. Let's go back here and try this again. Let's go to that's still not gonna give me anything there. So we gotta get rid of that. Let's just get rid of that. This is getting boring. And this is a lesson on OBS. That's what this is. Let's add. I don't like the window capture. Let's use browser. We're just gonna go with not color source, browser. There we go, browser. Let's go to browser. See what we get here. And we're going to. That's not gonna work. No. Let's go with custom CSS. No, that's not gonna. Browser. No, that's just not gonna cut it. There. We need to have this browser right here. Let's see if I can put that in there. She nails it. The point is here. She nails this whole thing. And I think it's. Very telling. My opinion of what...
Kim, what's on your radar?
Yeah, well, here we go.
I'm angry. I'm not going to lie. I'm really, really angry right now. So I'm just
going to what I'm going to do here is
my chest. Right now, everywhere we look, people have COVID. Vaccinated or not, everyone seems to be catching the virus with a whopping 800,000 new cases.
Yeah, so it's not going to allow me to do this.
Because Omicron is spreading like wildfire.
So I need to get rid of this.
Indiscriminately infecting anyone it comes into contact with. Some serious, serious failings by our public health.
Yeah, it's just going to keep playing. I don't think. Can you hear that?
Fauci, our politicians, and the mainstream media.
I think you can.
Glaringly obvious to the point where I think their failings rise to the level of crimes against humanity. The scientists and health experts, the people responsible for guiding us safely and scientifically through this pandemic, have been hyper-focused on vaccines. They raced towards a vax, told us to hunker down and wait for the vax. When it became available, they told us to get the vax. Then all the discussion centered around the awful people who refused the vax. So then they mandated the vax. And throughout this entire time, which is now at 2 years in, they've never focused on, and often, which is why it rises to the level of a crime, even shut down discussion surrounding the well-known scientific principle of natural immunity. They shut down and even demonized any discussion of potential early treatments, and they failed to give us good instructions on what to do when our loved ones or we ourselves catch COVID. They flat out refused to focus on any of this. They instead swore if we all got the vaccine, the pandemic would end. Well, it didn't end. Everyone is catching COVID. People who got double vaxxed and triple vaxxed and wore double masks and kept their kids out of school and gave up Christmas with family and even worse, gave up being with their loved ones by their side as they breathed their last breaths because they weren't allowed to be next to them, are catching COVID. Everyone is catching COVID. And as people are catching it, they're starting to realize they have no tools left in their toolkit. Somebody tell me, what are you supposed to do when you catch COVID? Seriously, can you answer that question? Besides quarantining yourself and wishing you were vaccinated more than you already are, what are you supposed to do? Do you isolate yourself away from your family and fight the virus alone while hoping and praying you don't need to go to the hospital? Because that's what they've left us with. Why don't we know more about natural immunity and how long it lasts? With so many people getting sick, wouldn't it be helpful to know whether or not people who've already recovered can take on the task of caring for their loved ones who are now ill? The Israelis came out with an enormous study showing natural immunity afforded 13 times more protection against reinfection than vaccination. But quickly, the CDC released its own highly flawed study claiming the opposite, that previously infected people were more likely to catch the virus than those vaccinated. Now, wouldn't it be nice to know which study is right?
Not sure if you can hear the audio there.
How long natural immunity lasts? Wouldn't it be nice to know if you do get reinfected, whether or not the disease is more or less severe? Signs point towards previous infection being protective to some degree, in the least lessening symptoms when reinfected. And what about the natural immunity younger people seem to have? We've known throughout the pandemic that young people often have very mild illness when infected. But again, the mere mention that they maybe should be less afraid of catching the virus was met with fierce resistance. So here we are now. We have people sick, and yet young and old and previously infected alike are all equally scared. And now people who are sick in bed with COVID who can't get themselves water or Tylenol or food to eat are reliant on the brave in their families to care for them if they're lucky enough to have someone brave at all. COVID can often be so debilitating. People can't get themselves out of bed.
The point that she's making here is that when people are diagnosed with COVID, we are given nothing, nothing at all. No indication of what to do in this case. What do we do? Yes. This is the point.
Water to stay hydrated, Tylenol to get your temperature down, someone to run a humidifier.
Any kind of directions at all? Nothing. Just get the vaccine.
I suspect many people didn't get the early care they needed because people were too frightened to be around them, and they wound up in the hospital or even worse. And speaking of early treatment, again, no honest discussion or research has been honestly put into trying to determine what could give a person a better fighting chance.
I've been asking this question for 2 years.
That maybe weren't 100% effective, but reduced severe outcomes by 30% or 40% or 50%, which is better than nothing.
What, do we need a high-carb diet? Do we need a low-carb diet? Do you need to drink more fluids, less fluids? How much fluid intake should you No, just send you home, take a Tylenol, and hope you don't have to call the hospital.
Reducing symptoms, then nothing at all. But that's pretty much what we've been left with. Nothing at all. Even monoclonal antibodies, a treatment that seemed to work, has been suppressed in the vaccine or bust movement. Yet here we are, people are fully vaccinated, even boosted, sick in bed, scared. And the best weapon our public health officials have given them against COVID is what? NyQuil? I say this as someone who, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, has been surrounded by and caring for people with COVID. Some vaccinated, some boosted, some unvaccinated. It doesn't matter. People are getting sick. I have been taking temperatures, checking oxygen, running humidifiers, and researching online what am I supposed to do, but the information is scarce. No one is giving us any idea of what we're supposed to do besides
Nothing.
The frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. And guess what? They're, of course, demonized. We're left waiting once again for another Big Pharma Pfizer solution, the early treatment pill, which does no one any good right now because we're waiting for it. This is what they've left us with. Millions of people are getting sick right now with no real idea of what to do except get your 4 tests from Biden and hope they come back negative. This lack of basic research and information on who is safest in our families to care for others, what treatment to give them when they're sick, and how to care for them to give them the best fighting chance is, in my book, a crime. These are health officials, they're scientists, they're doctors. They shouldn't be telling us to just hunker down and hope we never catch it. We need more information. They haven't given it to us, and worse, they've demonized any discussion of it.
Now,
I want to
give
you guys some examples that people have emailed into me.
She goes on with this discussion. And it goes on and on and on. All the points here. If you do even bring up, how can we possibly... Now, why is this video messed up? Why am I off in the corner? Why is this so small? What is going on here with this? This makes no sense whatsoever. Let's try redoing this a little bit. And we'll go from here. There we go. That's better. I guess it's better if the fact you're into that kind of thing. We have no indication whatsoever of how best to handle a positive diagnosis. I was trying to get this. My nephew was in the hospital. My nephew passed away, 46 years old. Passed away. Now he did have other complications, then some things he didn't know about. He had some issues that he didn't know about. But the question I had the whole time was, what are they doing for him? What kind of treatment is he getting? Are they just giving him, he ended up on a ventilator. Okay, that's not treatment. That's just keeping someone alive. There are judges right now two people just died recently. They're high-profile cases. Now, there have been more that have died because of this issue, but they were two high-profile cases that were brought to the public's attention through the media, where the family members early on were trying to get ivermectin treatments, and they have a whole series of things. I think this guy is talking about this.
When you come down with COVID, to find, okay, what are the things that people have done and how have they worked? And so then, right, you wind up on that site that wants to sell you hydroxychloroquine, or...
FLCCC doesn't do hydroxychloroquine. It's an ivermectin kit with vitamin D.
She even is shying away from hydroxychloroquine, which is not necessarily a bad thing either.
And that is better than nothing. You know, because otherwise, literally, they're like, take some NyQuil, stay home, and hope you don't end up in the hospital. Call us if your oxygen drops below 90. I mean, that's what doctors literally tell us.
But Kim, you said, right, people would take anything that gives them like a 10, 20, 30% reduction. I mean, that's the vaccine, right? That's
so you right, but right
get
now
the vaccine.
People are getting
that's
sick.
What it gives you.
Hey, I'm telling you, I am taking care of people who are vaccinated and sick.
Yep.
So
right.
It's not about that. People are getting vaccinated and they're still falling very ill. Maybe they're not ill enough to go to the hospital.
Right. You know, now, she doesn't know... some of the statistics out there right now, just looking at the numbers itself, the vaccine is not helping with Omicron. That's just a fact. It is not protecting you from anything. However, Omicron is not very deadly. In comparison, it is less than a tenth. I mean, we're talking a tenth of what Delta is. Way less. Actually, I think it's a tenth. I guess we're not a tenth. A tenth is, yeah, I'm not even, I'm way off there. That we're talking about an 80th, I think, it's something like that, as deadly as what Delta was. So we have to understand that there's been no real instructions of what to take What to do? Should you take Alka-Seltzer plus cold medicine? Does anacetaminophen work? What works to help? What will give you a fighting chance against this thing early on? And what's bad for you to take? I was hearing early on that there were certain things to take, certain fever medications that people normally take for the flu that were actually detrimental initially, that people were having reactions to, at least on the first variant, the first, I think it was the beta version of this thing. It's just, the information has been, take the vaccine, wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Okay, well, if you do get it, what do you do? What's the best way to treat this thing? Should we be eating more? Should we be eating less? You know, you've heard the whole thing of, I'll feed a cold, starve a fever. Does any of that apply? And there's some scientific backing to that. Do those things apply? And do we need to be looking at something? What's best for your diet at that point? Stop taking sugar products. Stop taking processed foods. Eat only vegetables. Eat only meat. Whatever it is, there's nothing. It's not like this thing gets you and you're gone in an instant. This happens over time. And as soon as you know that you've got it, what then? And there's nothing. There's been nothing in the last 2 years other than, oh, now we have another pill for you. Which basically, this is where I love Dr. Campbell. He came out with this. He diagnosed, or he dissected the information from this Pfizer pill that you can take now, which absolutely does nothing for Omicron, by the way, either. That just does nothing. But this new pill that hasn't even come out yet. I don't know if anybody in the area is getting them. They basically put a ban on monoclonal therapy, which is basically antibody therapy. And they've also basically banned ivermectin in some places. Ivermectin is a drug that's been used by millions and millions, tens of millions of people around the world. There is a veterinary ivermectin, and there's a human ivermectin. CNN was accusing Joe Rogan of taking horse medicine. And they got their clocks cleaned over that one. Sanjay Gupta had the nerve. I have to give it to him. He went on the Joe Rogan program, on his podcast. He got interviewed by him and got filleted. Very nicely filleted, I might add. So there's these things that happen like that. Why is there such a vilification and any talk, any discussion about the bad side effects of this thing, which do exist? The numbers do not lie there either, but they are covering that up now. Now, here's something else that's recently come out. The CDC has told people now in the hospitals, stop reporting on COVID deaths now. We don't have to report COVID deaths anymore. Okay, so explain that one to me. Explain to me why we have this weird stuff going on. They're acknowledging that masks are not, like the cotton masks aren't working well. There's even, the owners of major airlines, when they were being questioned recently, American, United, and a couple others, were being questioned by Congress. And they came out and they said, we'd like to have the mask mandate removed. Oh, no, we can't do that. That would be irresponsible. That would be irresponsible. We can't do that. It'd be irresponsible. Oh. Even those guys know. They realize this is stupid. But, you got to wear that magic mask because you're protecting everyone. People are going to die. You're killing everybody for not wearing a mask. The psyche that we have damaged in this country, people constantly taking their temperatures, worried about getting. Do I have a fever? Do I have a? I just had to sniffle. I sneezed. Better take my temperature. I wasn't wearing my mask. It's disheartening. I've seen some video coverage footage. Sometimes I'll be watching something and they'll show video footage of kids behind and on their desk. They have this little plastic shield and they're wearing a mask and they're, some of them are even wearing a little plastic thing over their head or they're wearing goggles or something. And it breaks my heart. Some of these kids are scared, literally scared of anyone who's not wearing a mask. For the last 2 years, they've been going through, if you're 7 or 8 years old, the majority of your memorable life has been with a mask on. The key social perception that we get with people. I notice this when I'm walking through airports. I'm the kind of guy who has my head up and I'm looking at people and I look them in the eye and I nod at them as I'm going through the terminal. When I'm in public, that's just me. I just do that. I don't look down. I don't look away. I don't ignore everybody that's around me. Now, I might be in thought or I might have something in my ears I'm listening to and I might, some people might perceive me as ignoring them. I'm not. I don't mean to. I'm the kind of person who likes to walk through a terminal or through a public place, through a mall, through a shopping. There's if there were any shopping malls anymore. Down the street, whatever it is, and smile and say hi to people. At least give them the nod. I acknowledge you. You're a human being, and I appreciate you. Thank you for being on the planet. Kind of thing. And that does not. You can't make that connection with a mask on. You look at them and you go, you know, you got to make a big thing with your head because you got, you know, your bags in one hand and you got your sweet tea in the other hand. And you, the only thing you can do is either, you know, give them a, you know, you give them the old cheers, you know, or whatever. You can do that, I guess, to every single person as you walk down. Not going to do that. And I think we've learned to kind of watch each other's eyes. People are kind of looking at each other's eyes. But this whole thing about the mask and the craziness of it all. We're coming for you, Gorsuch. If the mask was so effective, first of all, does Gorsuch have a temperature? Is he sick? Maybe he shouldn't be there if he's sick. That way he doesn't spread it. Is he vaccinated? Well, if he's vaccinated and she's vaccinated, what are you worried about? Because they're safe and effective. Apparently not. Now they're saying the booster thing, they're really playing down the booster thing. Even, because they want to come out with a new booster. They need to have an endemic phase. So now Boris Johnson has come out. And he's basically said now that the pandemic is over. By the way, a couple weeks ago, he was at a party with no mask on. And he was caught, and he was having this social event, I guess, of some kind. The same kind of thing that's happened over here, where we have Nancy Pelosi going to they set her up when she went to the hairdresser. They set her up. Because they kidnapped her. What they did was they found her in a parking lot. They threw her in a van and took her to the hairdresser place. She didn't go there on her own accord. And she, you know, then they forced her to walk around without a mask while they did her hair. They didn't provide her with a mask. It took away, in fact, she had 4 or 5 masks in her purse and they took them away from her. To hear her side of it, she sounds like it wasn't her fault. It was their fault. I was set up. No, you weren't set up. You got caught. That's what it is. When you get caught doing something, that's not a setup. When a cop pulls you over for doing 70 miles an hour in a 40 mile an hour zone, I was set up. I didn't know he was there. Taking my speed. It's his fault. Defund the police. That's the problem. The reason we have such a high crime rate is because we have too many police. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez actually believes that. Well, what would it look like if we took away the police in Chicago, in East Chicago, on the South Side? What would that look like?
The suburbs. It would look like the suburbs. It would all of a sudden,
because the cops are the problem. The cops are the problem. Crime isn't the problem. The cops are the problem. If we just stop prosecuting the crimes, if we stop doing anything about the crimes, the crime goes away because it makes the statistics look better. Because we don't report them. Because it's not a crime. If we don't call it a crime, it's not a crime. If you walk in and steal less than $900 worth of stuff while you're shoplifting, it's not shoplifting. And we don't call it a crime. Look, crime is down. Stores are devastated. Stores are closing because of their people are walking off of stuff without paying for it. But crime is down. Look how good of a job I'm doing. That's the kind of stuff we got going on. It's the old pee on my leg and tell me it's raining thing. They just say the reality that they want. They just speak the reality that they want you to believe. They tell you what to believe. So this is where we're at. So Boris Johnson gets in trouble, and 2 weeks later, after this thing starts to escalate, people start finding out more and more, and his approval rating starts to drop. It's like, the pandemic's over. It's over. Okay, it's not a big deal anymore. See? There we go. What I did there doesn't matter because the pandemic's over. Now it's an endemic. And that's the stage we're in now. And really, that's probably accurate. Now, the thing is that this is, see, the Democrats realize they have this teetering thing that they're trying to juggle all these issues right now. They know that they're in trouble in 2022 for the elections. But they know they can still play that out because they still have the media. The media's been a little bit cruel to them lately, but they still have the media. They can still work the narrative. They can still do the spin. The problem that they're running into right now is if they don't do something about COVID, now if they do something about COVID, if COVID goes away, if the pandemic goes away, if all the restrictions are dropped, all of a sudden they're the heroes. Look what we did. We conquered it. We conquered COVID. Look at us. We're the champions. Gotta vote for us because we conquered COVID. COVID kind of conquered itself here, I think, in this particular situation. Omicron is God's gift to us, really. I mean, it's really the beginning of the end. I'm not going to say it's God's gift, but it is the natural progression of a virus like this is that it mutates into a less dangerous virus. I'm not an epidemiologist, not a doctor, not a lawyer, not a life coach, not a financial advisor. I'm not a Bitcoin operator. I haven't even been to an ATM for a while. I'm certainly not a rodeo clown. But I am a guy with a microphone that you can see on Rumble if you're watching live, which is really a sight. But and you're really missing out if you're not watching Rumble right now. It's quite the show. My face floating around here like this. The whole thing. And by the way, just a side note, because I'm surprised I haven't gone down more bunny trails today. But just a side note, if you would like, what I would like to do at some point is just to play videos, and just have side comments, side commentary. If that's something you'd rather see me do on the show, let me know. Put some comments down below in the video, and let me know what you think. Now I wish I could respond real time to video that's online right now. I don't know if that there's any way to do that on Rumble. And if there is, put that in the comments down below. Let me know so I can figure out how to do that kind of stuff. The Rumble is a little bit it's a little bit awkward. Now, I've gotten it to work pretty well now, finally, with using Safari. If I use Firefox, it's not working so well with my system. I'm not sure. It just doesn't want to do it. But now, so this next week, I'll be on my laptop again for a few days. We'll see how that works out. I'm hoping to have a couple cameras with me that I can hook up and make things look better, and maybe even have some digital video as well. I'm working on some video that I can input and do some things to figure some of those kinds of things out with this OBS program. I may have to go with Wirecast. Wirecast will cost me a couple hundred bucks, but I'm thinking that Wirecast will may work better. I know it's a lot easier to work with. I may go with that and see how that works for my iOS products, my Apple products, because I think it's going to work better. We'll see how it goes. I just know that I worked with it at one point earlier on before I bought vMix, which only works with a PC or a Windows-based program. And I love it. I love vMix, but I can't use it with my Apple products, and I don't want to have to carry another computer around with me to do all that. So there you go. And I think I would have a better time with that with vMix if I was using Chrome as a browser, or either Chrome or I think Chrome is what I have to use with that. So there you go. There's my little side note there. So we have this thing. I think that the narrative is crumbling, and the Democrats now are realizing they really need to do something, because Fauci has lost a lot of credibility. The CDC has noticed that they've lost a lot of credibility. Nobody believes anything they say. So now they're finally coming out now and declaring that the boosters aren't doing any good. And by the way, don't stop. You know, they're telling the media, telling hospitals to stop reporting deaths of COVID. Don't need to report those anymore. That's odd. Isn't that kind of odd? They still report deaths from the flu. What's going on here? I think that they have to make COVID go away, and rather quickly, for political. They're seeing the political benefit of making this thing go away. The party that can declare that they have defeated it is going to be the party that wins, they think. I don't think it's going to be the case. Now, what do I want to say here? How do I want to say it is more important. The American public's memory is about a week old, and I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt. And I'm not talking about people on the right. The libertarian pro-constitution, pro-individual rights group that is out there. I'm not talking about the leftists and the socialists. They have a lot more of an attitude of remembering. Their memory seems to last longer, just put it that way, when it comes to political issues and stuff that has happened. Come November, they're going to remember Afghanistan. They're going to remember the economy and inflation and all the things that are and the oil prices and everything that's happening right now. There are other people out there who, unfortunately, when things go bad, if things are great the week before the election, oh, okay, I'm going to vote for this guy then. Oh, yeah, I forgot. It was terrible. Oh, yeah, it got terrible again. I forgot all about that stuff he did. Now, one Quiniac, whatever it is. There's one poll that was taken recently that had Joe Biden down with an approval rating of 33%. No president that I know of within the first year has ever had that kind of a approval rating. I don't think Nixon even had that bad of an approval rating near the end of his time there. And people forget about Ford. It's interesting where this inflation thing is going. Inflation doesn't just go down. That's called deflation, and they do not like deflation. Rich people don't like it. They actually do lose money during deflation, by the way. What's happening right now, and there's supposedly this Bitcoin correction thing coming up, I guess, or cryptocurrency thing correction that's coming, that everybody's forecasting. There's even some people, I guess, have said it's going to zero. It's that's not going to happen. Gold and silver prices, they're saying, are going to go through the roof. Silver's not moving. It never does. It hardly ever moves. And when it does, it's like a one-time thing. And then it stays there for another 20 years. Anybody that's telling you to buy silver because it's going to go up is ridiculous. Buy silver if you want something that's going to hold its value. That's about all it does. It will basically hold its value. It's not going to go skyrocketing. Now, platinum might. Titanium might. But they don't coin platinum and titanium. Well, I think there are platinum coins, but yeah. There are precious metals that are actually being used. Lithium. There you go. So I'm not sure exactly what's happening. All I know is that because of it's an election year, and I think the politicians are starting to realize they've got to do something about COVID, because that will give them, that's the one thing they can probably pull off. You know, they thought they were going to be able to pull it off when they had the vaccine. They thought they were sitting pretty to get their agenda done, because they were going to get COVID. COVID was going to be destroyed. They were going to crush COVID because they had a vaccine. Turns out the vaccine is not really a vaccine. It's more of a pre-therapeutic or kind of a prophylactic type thing. Not really what they thought it was going to be, even though they continue to tout it as if it is. You got to take it or you're going to kill everybody. And we're going to stick your kids with it now, too. Got to stick your kids. Even though COVID has virtually zero death rate among, I mean, the flu in 2019 killed more children under the age of 12 than COVID has in the last 2 years. And yet we got to stick everybody. Now, I don't know if the thinking there is that kids can carry it and give it to old people, so we got to protect the old people by giving it to the kids. I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it at all. I think there's something much more sinister going on, to put it in the words of Senator Ron Johnson, I think his name. He said that, and I think he's right. He was looking into this early on, and he's there. I mean, there are other countries that have made a big deal about natural immunity and saying that if you have antibodies, if you're tested for the antibodies, then we're going to treat you as if you're vaccinated. We're going to give you a vaccine passport, basically. Now, they've dropped the vaccine passports in England. No more. Now, companies and businesses can still require them. That's up to them. But it's not government imposed now anymore. It's done. It's been dropped. And, of course, you got thunderous applause from the Parliament. It's interesting what we're going to see, I think, in the next month. Now, we're about... The U.S. is about 2 to 3 weeks behind the U.K. right now. So as the U.K. starts to open up and unfold all this new stuff and calling this an endemic and going from there, it will be very interesting to see how this works out in the U.S. as well. And I think that what's going to happen is you're going to see this wave kind of start to go through things. Of course, everybody's talking about Ukraine right now. Let me just for a moment mention Ukraine. And what I think about Ukraine here. First of all, I think the political pundits that are out there are some people who are chomping at the bit for something to happen in Ukraine, because it will take the pressure off and the narrative. It will give them a new narrative to talk about. So they don't talk about the border. They don't talk about COVID. They don't talk about inflation. They don't talk about shortages, transportation issues. All these things that are on the table right now that are... political hot buttons. They can all of a sudden they can talk about Ukraine because and here's the problem. People are just trying to go to work every day, make their money, pay their bills, and get through winter. Keep themselves healthy and safe. That's what they're working about. That's what they're working on right now. And for those who are in the elite out there who don't care about, most of them don't even fill up their own car anyway. Some of them just drive Teslas because, you know, they're woke. I have a problem with Teslas. I actually believe electric cars are a great idea. And I think the Tesla has finally been the one that has broken through the kind of the barrier of what is practical and what is not. I would own one. if the price was a little lower, I would own one. I don't like the fact that it, you know, it lasts for a certain length of time and then your batteries are like $25,000 to replace them or whatever it is. I don't like that part of it. I don't like the, what I love about it is, I mean, every time you park your car in the garage, you don't go to the gas station every day, but you do park your car in the garage every day, probably, if you have a garage. And you can literally keep the thing topped off all the time. You can keep it at its maximum range every night. You don't drive your car its maximum range every day, unless you do, in which case you might as well have a second car that burns gas. The electric car is a great primary car, and your secondary car can be your long-range car. Or rent one. Rent one for a week's vacation where you're going to go someplace. Put somebody else, put the mileage on somebody else's car. You can almost do it in a Tesla now, but if you're depending on what you're doing, it doesn't make sense. And there's a lot of places, a lot of big businesses now. If you work for GM or if you work for some health system someplace, a lot of times they have charging stations right next door or on property. And it works out great. You just plug your car in, go to work, come back out, now you're fully charged again. It's really a coming of age. Unfortunately, it gets a bad rap, I think, even among some people on the right, because they want their, I also don't have a problem with big SUVs. If you want a big SUV, just do it. Fine with me. I care about the environment, but it's also, we have to be practical about what we do and how we do this. Government can't keep forcing the market into, by 2025, every car has to be electric. Like, that's not practical. That doesn't work with the economy of that is stupid. You're forcing an economy on people that doesn't work. It just doesn't make things work. Let the market speak for itself and get government out of manipulating those things and making money on those. The people who are in charge are the ones like Nancy Pelosi, who are all of a sudden, well, every car by 2030 or whatever has to be electric. Well, guess what? Now they're going to invest in electric cars, car vehicles. Look at the electric vehicles. They're forcing those things. it's those kinds of things. They start to invest in batteries and all the other kind of technology stuff that's out there. If you don't think that government, socialism or communism basically is the government controlling the means of production, when a government can step in and tell you you can't accept certain customers, you have to turn these particular customers away. You can't serve these people. You can only serve those people. Who has control of your business? Realistically. When a restaurant is told you can't accept anyone in your restaurant unless they're vaccinated. Excuse me, this is my business. I own the property. I have rights. I can serve whomever I choose. Oh, no. You can't serve unvaccinated individuals. Unless they're gay and they want a wedding cake. I wonder how that would work out. Well, I can't make your wedding cake for you because you're not vaccinated. That wouldn't go over very well. That would be a sticky wicket. This is where the moral left and all their squishiness and all their feel-good morality that is phony. Phony feel-good morality, FFM, I guess it's PFM, I spell phony with an F, so I guess in my world, there you go. If you can choose your own pronouns, I can choose my own spelling. Just seems to go with the territory. So that's all I'm going to do for today. I got to work my way out of this show, and I don't know how to do it. I'm almost on an hour here now, and actually I'm a minute away from being on for an hour here. So I do need to do something with this show. And I think for the most part, I really appreciate everybody who's listening and people who've watched. If you've watched this entire show and you're at this point where you're actually listening to me, thank you. I want to doubly thank you, because that means that either you've fallen asleep or you can't get to your pause button, or you're driving down the road and you can't get a chance to change the channel. That's the only thing I can think of. But if you have, I want to say thank you and thank you again for liking, sharing, subscribing, making a comment about any of the things. What kind of content do you want to see from this show? I'm really flexible at this point. I'm pliable. I like talking about the news. I like giving you my opinion. So what do you want to see me do as far as, what do you want my opinion on? I guess that's the question. Or do you even want my opinion? If you don't, then that's too bad, because you're still going to get it. That's the way it's going to work. So yeah, once again, thank you for watching, listening, doing all those things, commenting. And I just want to say once again, there is hope in the midst of all this. There is one who is in control of his kingdom. And he is coming back. He's going to set all this stuff straight at some point. It will happen. I'm most assuredly assured of that. So continue to pray for each other. Pray for our nation. Pray for our leaders. And we'll get through this because we're all in this together. God bless everybody. Shabbat shalom. Have a great weekend. I will definitely have a show next week. Maybe not the rest of the day, but tomorrow. Good night, everybody.